is what it says, the last little bit of it. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. So let's pray. Father, we pray that you would cause our hearts to rejoice as we hear from your word today. God, we pray that we would find them sweet, more valuable than any earthly thing. And God, as we hear with our ears, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to hear in such a way that we would embrace your words by faith. You said that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So we desire to hear from you, Jesus. Have you speak to us through your word. Bless our time together. May it be pleasing to you in Christ's name. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians, Steph read it for us. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. I don't think anyone here would disagree, at least I hope you don't disagree, that words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words that are spoken into our lives, whether it doesn't, anytime, even now, words that come into our lives, it could be from friends, it could be from things that we read, that when we take and we receive and we accept those words, they put us on a course or in a direction in life. They could be words that we speak to ourselves. I spoke some words to Lisa many years ago, and the words were really short and succinct. Will you marry me? Praise the Lord, she received those words and accepted those words, and she said back to me, yes. Our lives are very much changed from that interaction of a conversation. Words spoken, received, accepted, responded to, and that changed the course of our lives. Words, when we receive and we accept them, shape us. They change us. And we all know this. In fact, that's why advertising works, right? Words, stories, messages are given to you, and the challenge is they're wanting you to receive it and accept it and then embrace it as truth. I was struck just thinking of the many New Testament letters that Paul writes, and Peter writes for that matter. And in a lot of their letters, there's concern for false teachers. Now, today isn't on false teaching, but there's concern for false teachers, people who are speaking words that are untrue into the lives of believers, and it's leading them away from a proper understanding of who God is and what he's done. And why are they so concerned? Because words, when they're received and accepted, change us. So there's really nothing in some ways that isn't unique about the Word of God or Paul speaking into people's lives, because that happens in everyday life that you and I are a part of. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, he emphasizes this. He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." And that's a challenge that we all have in our own hearts. Who doesn't want to, when you're struggling, have someone come and tell you what you want to hear? Isn't that much easier to receive and accept, right? It's part of the struggle that we have. And he's acknowledging it here, and he does in many of his letters. The point is that words impact you and I. Every day, you and I are being impacted by words that are spoken, by messages that are being spoken into our lives. And they change us. There are two words or phrases that Paul uses in this passage that I want us to consider what they are. And first of all, he says, when you received the word and when you accepted the word. So what does it mean to receive and what does it mean to accept? Because that is a part of our everyday lives. Receiving means to embrace words as being authoritative. So someone speaks to you and you go, okay, like they're credible. They've got some authority. I'm going to believe those words. I'm going to receive them and accept them, okay? You wouldn't receive or accept words that you wouldn't believe are credible and authoritative over you. You receive words from someone as being who you see that person, that the words are valid, that they're right, that they're true for you. That's common language today, right? Well, what's true for you is true, right? But there's an embracing, there's a receiving of that because you've determined that those words are true and you believe those words. And part of receiving those words, when you receive them, it becomes your reality and you live a certain way. You hold them as being true for you. The image that I had in my mind is to grasp a bar to do a chin-up. And I don't know if you've ever seen some of those fails where someone in their doorways has this little bar and they're doing their chin-ups and it gives way and they're just, right? Well, you're not going to, if you know that's going to happen, there's very unlikely that you're going to grab that bar and do your chin-ups. To accept something, there's this idea that it's going to hold your weight, that it's truthful, that it's going to work. Jabin and I, a while ago, bought some remote control cars and we were racing them up and down the street, and I ran into his and broke the front wheel. We're not experts on remote control cars or fixing them. And so what do we do? How do you know how to fix a remote control car? Does anyone tell?
Google.
Yeah, exactly, YouTube. So we went and found someone, and it looked like he knew what he was doing. We watched it, and we sat down together and took out our tools, and we listened to him, and he was credible. Looked like he knew what he was doing, and so we repaired the car, and it worked. To accept means to take and receive as being right, to listen to words about something, to readily receive it and regard it as true. To accept something is actually to believe that it is true. So receiving, accepting, believing is really about faith. Did I have faith that the guy telling us how to fix a car, did I have faith in that? Yes, because I listened to him. When you and I believe that something is true, we live our lives according to that truth. Lisa said yes. Jabin's car is fixed. Every day, you and I are receiving, accepting, and believing, and then organizing our lives around the truths that we have embraced. Here are these believers that Paul calls them. This work is at work in you believers that they've received and accepted. Here are these people who have heard the words of Paul. They've received them. They've accepted them. In such a way that they let go of idols and now they're serving the living and true God. And a few times Paul in this phrase, and I found this really helpful. Sometimes I've Bible software and I can go and look at what words mean in the original language, and sometimes the English words fail us in some way. And so let me read this. There's a phrase he used, word of God or word of man or word of God. Let me read this verse in a way that's kind of made me understand it in a little bit different way. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the message of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the message of man, but as what it really is, the message of God, which is at work in you believers. So when he's using word of God here, if you follow it back, it's actually referring to the gospel of Christ, the message of the good news of the gospel. And so as we're reading this, as we're trying to get an understanding of this passage, It's saying when you heard the message of the Lord Jesus crucified that we spoke to you, you received that message of the Lord Jesus crucified, not as our message, but actually God speaking to you through us. So even though the way this works, it's an ordinary, Paul is using ordinary words in the Greek language, speaking to people who are hearing his words, even though it's an ordinary way that you, everyone here, it's the way that you learn and you receive, you accept, you believe something to be true, and then you live accordingly. That's normal. The difference is the words that they've received is no ordinary message. Yes, Paul's speaking in an ordinary way. But he's speaking a message that is not ordinary. And the message that he is speaking is true. And these people have received it, they've accepted it, they've believed it, they've embraced it, they're living by faith in these words. The difference that Paul isn't just speaking his own ideas or his philosophical musings about life as other men and women did within this culture, but he is speaking the very words of God. These aren't his words. He's a conduit. He's a mouthpiece for God. And so although he's using normal words that everyone would have known what they were, the message are the very words of God. Paul says a few times in 1 Corinthians 11:32, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." First Corinthians 15:3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." Again, he says in Galatians 1:12, "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." I don't know everyone's story here, but each one of you has had a Paul in your life. It could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be a mom, it could be a dad, it could be a friend, it could be a neighbor. But they have spoken not their words, but the words of God into your life as conduits. That message has come and you've received it as coming from God. And the difference between this message and a YouTube message is that the message of God is unchanging. And I was thinking the other day of, if you go back 10 or 15 years, of how many truths come out that people embrace. So the thing that comes to me is diets. Just, I don't know why it did. But a diet comes out and we embrace it and it's the rage. And then years down the road, we realize that maybe it wasn't as good as we thought because there's information that's come out. We've learned more. So it's changed. The truth has changed. There's a lot of things in our lives like that we look back and, well, things have changed, right? Years ago, they thought the world was flat because the scripture says it had four corners, but now through science, it's spherical. And as Jim was saying today, that the earth revolves around the sun, not the sun around the earth. But yet the truths of God never change. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Forever. And this word is what? It's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that was preached to you. In Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." You think about how much of your life gets organized when you receive and accept truths that really have a limit to them, whatever they are. But the word of God has no limit. It's eternal. Paul has spoken words into these people's lives. They are not ordinary words. They are the unchanging, eternal message and good news of God for his people in and through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And they have received it. They've accepted it. They've believed that message as being true. And that causes Paul to praise. So my question this morning is, what is the message that the believers have received and accepted and that's changing them? Right? Don't you want to know what they've received that's at work in them changing them? It says, which is at work in you believers? What did they accept? What did they receive? That's at work in them, that's changing them to be conformed into the image of Christ. So drastic was the change, so life-changing were these words that came in power and of the Holy Spirit that they let go. They saw the gods that they had embraced as worthless idols. And they let them go and they turned to serve the living and true God. What did they accept? So here we go. Let's see, how many do I have here? 49 points. I'll try to be brief. And I'm going to go through these really fast. And I want you just to, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, as we read through these truths, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to give us understanding, that your light would dispel our darkness, that our hearts would be ignited, that they would be recaptured, and that we would, by your Spirit, sense that you are at work in us through the message of the gospel of Christ Jesus crucified. And you would burn in our hearts in such a way that we would want to know more and love more and to experience you to a greater degree than when we came in here this morning. So help us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So what did these believers accept and receive? Number one, they accepted the word of God. And these are just random order. As I sat at my desk this week, thinking of different scriptures that came to my mind, 40 different, and there's many more, I stopped then. They accepted the word of God where Christ is their shepherd, who has lifted them out of the thicket of their rebellious wandering sin and brought them safely to the harbor of the presence of the Father. Number two, they accepted and received the word of God that God the Father, through Christ the Son, has loved them as wayward prodigal sons and daughters and as the self-righteous older brother, because now they wear the robe of their Father. Number three, they accepted the word, they received the word that Jesus Christ on the third day had risen from the grave, conquering sin, death, and Satan. Number four, they accepted the word of Christ, that Christ was the Passover lamb that was slain and whose blood was shed and sprinkled over the doorposts of their hearts, saving them from the angel of death. Number five, they accepted the word that Christ is the ark that will carry them safely through the divine judgment of God to newness of life. For they believe that they have died with Christ and they will be raised to newness of life and are raised to newness of life. Number six, they accepted the word of God that God provided Abraham with a lamb so that his son would be spared. We are the son who the Father has sacrificed the lamb on Mount Moriah so that we might be spared. Number seven, they accepted the word of God that Joseph was betrayed by his brothers for 30 pieces of silver, that he might go before them into a foreign country according to the will of God and save his brothers, his family. So the word became flesh and went before us that we might be spared. Number eight, they accepted the word of God that Christ is their mediator, who alone can stand in the gap and who can unite the hearts of idol worshipers to the living and holy God. They accepted the word of God that the blood of Christ was shed for them that they might have forgiveness of their sins. Number 10, they accepted and received the word of God that Christ was the propitiation, the wrath bearer, who alone can take on his shoulders their deserved punishment that they might be spared and delivered from the wrath of God. Number 11, they accepted the word that the mercies of God to them must flow from and through the blood of Christ. Number 12, They received the word that through Christ they have been bought, purchased, adopted, and are now sons and daughters of God the Father for all eternity. Number 13, they accepted and received the word of God that the Father unconditionally loved and loves them because he sent his one and only Son to pursue them and draw them to his heart. Number 14, they accepted the word of Christ that Christ is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's without beginning, he's without end, and alone is the giver and sustainer of life. Number 15, they accepted through the word that Christ is the creator of all things and that all things were created through him and for him. Number 16, they accepted through the word that Christ gives them life and breath and everything. Number 17, they accepted and received through the word that Christ Jesus, their Lord, bent down and not only has washed their feet, but he shed his blood so that they might be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. 18, they accepted the word that Christ would come back and they would have eternal life lived in his presence. All suffering, all crying, all pain, all sin eradicated and swallowed up by the gracious power of God. Number 19, they accepted the word that Christ is their wisdom. 20, they accepted the word that Christ is their righteousness. 21, they accepted the word that Christ is their sanctification. 22, they accepted the word that Christ Jesus was and is their redemption and salvation. 23, they accepted the word that Jesus Christ was their Lord and renounced all to serve him, the living and true God. 24, they accepted and received the word that all grace and truth are through and from Jesus Christ. 25, they accepted the word that all the glory of the Father can be seen in the face of Jesus Christ. 26, they accepted the word of Christ that he was the word that was with God in the beginning and was God. 27, they accepted the word that Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. 28, they accepted the word that God is love, and that love has been displayed to them, for while they were enemies, Christ died for them. 29, they accepted the word that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that all power and all authority has been given to him so that they might rest. 30, they accepted the word that no matter how difficult life would get, he would never leave them or forsake them, that nothing could or ever would separate them from his love. 31, they accepted the word that the work he started in them by the power of the Spirit would continue and come to completion at the return of Christ Jesus. 32, they accepted the word and received the word that the love of Christ has been poured into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. 33, they accepted the word of God that Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has now made them to be at peace with a holy God. They are justified. 34, they accepted the word that as Christ was sent to them, they are now sent to others. 35, they accepted the word that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 36, they accepted the word that he loves them and he has freed them from bondage to their sins by his blood and power. 37, they accepted the word that he has made us a kingdom and he's called us to be priests in his kingdom. 38, they accepted the word that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor, and Prince of Peace. 39, they accepted that the words of Jesus were enduring, without error, and will never fade. 40, they accepted the word that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be whole, equipped to live pleasing to God. 41, they accepted the word that Jesus was and is alive forevermore and alone has the keys to death and Hades. 42, they accepted the word that Jesus was slain and by his blood he's ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and that he has made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. 43, they accepted the word that myriads and myriads are right now saying in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings." 44, they accepted the word that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Christ. 45, they accepted the word that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father as sovereign ruler over all things. 46, they accepted the word that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. 47, they accepted the word that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They accepted the word, 48, that Jesus, they accepted the word that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. 49, they accepted the word. Capital W-O-R-D. You just think of all the other things that you know right now in your mind that you're thinking of. The Word of God, the message of God, the story of God was at work in those believers. And he's at work in you. He's at work in you. Paul says in verse 13 that him and Silas and Timothy were constantly giving thanks to God for that. He couldn't stop giving thanks because the evidence of them being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ was their accepting, was their receiving, was their believing, was their embracing, was their grasping, was their holding on to. That was the evidence of a divine supernatural work of God the Father through Christ the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, redeeming a people into the image of his Son to his glory. Earlier on, he said, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. They received, they accepted the message that Paul spoke as the message of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Here are these believers receiving, accepting, believing. And that receiving, accepting, and believing was evidence of God establishing his kingdom, establishing his rule, establishing his reign in the greatest institution ever created, in the hearts and the minds of his redeemed, called the Church of the Living God. He's establishing a new society of people who embrace his message, his truth. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And Paul is giving thanks to God because their accepting and receiving was evidence of the work of God in power by his Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he puts it this way. The word of the cross, the message of God, is folly, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Later on, a few verses later in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand, receive, accept the message, the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words. Everyday English words in our culture, words. not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. So you can't really understand the message without the help of the Spirit. The natural person, that means a person who doesn't have the Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, foolishness to him or her. And he or she is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So they were receiving and accepting because the Spirit of God was working in their lives. And so Paul is giving praise to God because that is his grace. And whoever, John 8:47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. John 10:16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's referring to the Gentiles coming into the flock by hearing the shepherd's voice. John 18:37, then Pilate said to them, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. 1 John 4:6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So here is Paul speaking ordinary words, proclaiming an extraordinary message that would have remained foolish to them unless the Spirit of God moved. And that message was given to Paul by God, and that message came in power and in the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the people heard God speaking to them through the words of Paul. And they received those words that Paul had spoken, and they accepted those words as the very words of God. And that message they saw as having authority over and true for them, so they trusted it, they believed it, and the word began to shape them and work in them, making them more and more into the image of Christ. So we have here before us today 66 books of God speaking to his people and revealing who he is. They're written in English to help us, and we call it God's Word. It is without error, it's completely trustworthy, it's unchanging, and it's sufficient so that you might fully know God intimately. It's where we hear of his love for us as a father in the person and works of Christ. It's where we hear and understand that we are now in the light because of all that he's done for us. And as we hear more of who he is and what he's done, our lives tend to turn and we live in a response to him because it comes with authority and we receive it and we accept it. And it does a work in us. The Spirit of God takes the spoken word of God by the power of God himself, and he impresses it onto our understanding to be true, not only for you, but for me. And we in turn receive it, and we accept it, and it changes us. The Spirit moves with power through the Word of Christ to bring life, to bring form, to bring us out of the void. And that understanding, as we see who God fully is in the face of Christ, it changes us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, continue to be people of his word. Spend time. It's not a waste of time. And come dependent on the Spirit, asking God to move. Pray, ask, plead that he would come in such a way that you would see his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, and that his story from Genesis to Revelation would capture your heart in such a way that you would respond to him by laying down your idols and turning in repentance to face Christ and follow him, to live faith forward. And next week I want to talk about, I'm convinced that the Word of God, where he said at the very beginning in Genesis, when God said, let there be light, It was the Spirit who brought fulfillment to what God was saying. Because Paul uses a reference in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For the God who said, 'Let there be light,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." That the word of God is spoken and the Spirit with power comes and brings it to completion. You are so, and I are so dependent on the Spirit of God to move in our lives. Or they just remain words. We hear them, but they don't change us. And so this week, I would encourage you, for those of you who take time, devote time to know God, I pray that you would be encouraged. Maybe some of you at this point in your life are really wrestling with that. That you would just take a step of faith. You would sit down quietly. You would open God's word. And you'd pray and you'd say, "God, just come and move in my life and help me." And I've noticed that it's such imperceptible changes, right? Like, it takes a long time. But he changes us. He changes us. He causes us to love what he loves. And that's Paul's encouragement. I pray that you would love each other more and more. And that happens as we understand how we have been loved more and more by God. And it just kind of spills out of us. We can't help do it. And so that's my encouragement to you. I pray that it be a great encouragement to you. It was to me this week. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, many people have died giving their lives for its preservation. And here we have it today. And God, we ask that you would continue to make us a people of your word who are dependent on your Spirit. Jesus, I thank you that you came in the flesh. The word became flesh so that we might have a visible picture of what it looks like to live for you. And God, as we take communion, we're reminded of that again, of your selfless sacrificial love for us. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would continue the work that you started, and I know you will because you are faithful. That you would continue to form us as we come to your word, you would reveal yourself to us. And so we ask for your help, for apart from you, we can do nothing. And so have your way with us now, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. So communion, just juice this week. It's on both at the back. I just want to read the passage in 1 Corinthians for us as we... First Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 23. "For I received," this is Paul speaking, "for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this, or take, eat of it in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine him or herself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself or herself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment about the things, about other things. I will give directions when I come. I pray the Lord would encourage you as you and bless you as you partake and remember the Lord's death until he comes.